you want to head to the picket line at the Royal Victoria Hospital, our reporter Nicola Weir is with some of the staff. Nicola.
Morning, Stephen. Yes, I'm at the picket line here. There's about 50 or so people here standing with their Unison flags. I am standing under the shadow of some very big posters. One of them says here, our health service is sick, unsafe staffing levels, crisis waiting list, unfair pay. And another one says, we won't be left behind, close the pay gap. So it's quite obvious what they're calling for here. Lots of toots of cars going by, food arriving for people who are standing here. There's going to be more people arriving later on whenever their shifts come to an end. Standing here are some of those people here at the front line. We've got Conor McCarthy, he is a Unison rep. But Conor, I know you want to get into the Unison line, but there are people listening to this and I want you to speak to them on a human level about what you do every day and why you are here.
Every day we come in this health service, we do everything we can for the people of this country, for the patients. And it's absolutely vital that you, the listeners of this show and listening out there now, understand that this is not just about pay parity, this is about the very existence of the health service. And we need everybody to get on board with this. We need somebody to actually fight for us. Who is actually fighting for this country? That's what the questions are being asked.
What are you facing on a daily basis?
In here, it is getting to the absolute crisis point. Make no mistake about it, our hospitals are wonderful places. They do amazing things, even under exceptional circumstances. Patients are still being cared for, but that's not going to last. It's not going to last if people don't get off their backsides and actually fight for this place. And we're appealing for everybody, whether it be Michael McBray, whether it be Tony Stevens, whether it be the chief executives, whether it be Richard Bringelly. Somebody has to fight for this place, and we're calling on the department to do its part. They need to make a decision.
Well, Michael McBride has very clearly said on this programme this morning it's not in his gift. He can't do anything about it. This is a ministerial decision, so, you know, there's nothing he can do. His hands are tied.
Okay, so what if my members come into work every day and say, oh, there's not enough staff, there's nothing I can do about that, and just don't go that extra mile? What if we come into work every day and say, do you know what, there's only three of us, so we're only doing the work of three? No, our workers and our health workers go the extra mile every single day. So the politicians and those who are in power and those in the department need to go the extra mile and deliver. Do the right thing. Stop sitting on your arse and actually start to fight for this place. That's what we're asking them to do.
And Jennifer, you're another worker here. You're on the front line. Tell me about what impact it has on your life every day, coming into work.
Well, every day we're coming into work and we're being paid less than people across the water. Agenda for Change was originally sold to us that if you were a Band 3 worker in Northern Ireland, you would be paid exactly the same as a Band 3 worker in the rest of the UK, and that's not happening.
How is it impacting on your family? Do you have to do overtime? What are you having to clear up at work?
I personally don't do overtime because I have fibromyalgia, and 37 and a half hours is all I can actually manage to do in a week. But my husband works for the health service and he does a lot of overtime, to the point now where he's out of work sick with stress. So it is an impact on all families.
And also standing with me here is Adeline. You're also a Unison rep, but you're also one of the frontline members of staff.
Yeah.
Tell people who are listening to the Nolan Show, the thousands of people that are listening, just what this means to your life whenever you walk into work and you feel so disheartened and you want that extra pay.
Well, we come in here to work every day, and I have been working overtime and I have been working all hours. My colleagues work all hours that they can get because we're so low paid and we're trying to make ends meet here. But we're not asking for much. We're asking for fair pay. That's what we want. And it's not a big task to ask. But we come in here every day and we pull out all the stops. We are the staff behind the theatre staff. If we don't come in and pull out all the stops and do our work, no operations will be getting done. Because
tell me what morale's like at the minute.
Morale is at the bottom line. It's really at bottom because people are going, they're so disheartened with the whole health service. This is our health service. We own it, not just me and the people who work in the health service. It's our health service. We need the people to get behind us and help us to get a fair pay for the work that we do to provide a service, a safe and sterile service for our colleagues.
How do you feel whenever you hear people say appointments are being cancelled, lives could possibly be put at risk because of what you're doing at this picket line? What would you say back to that?
Well, I don't believe that it's all our fault, because appointments were cancelled way before and operations were cancelled. I work in the place that supplies the equipment for operations, and operations have been getting cancelled for quite some time now. and it wasn't our fault. It's someone else's fault, and it had nothing to do with the unions. We are out here now because we can see our health service getting run into the ground as well. And it's our health service, and we need to fight for it, everybody.
Conor, just a last word to you, because Michael McBride did make some points whenever he was talking to Stephen earlier on. He is saying that he is making a genuine and heartfelt appeal to you, that he says that he is conflicted, he knows that you have genuine grievances, he knows that you're frustrated, he's frustrated too, but he just does not have the means to address what you want, and he says you need to find a way that you can come together and resolve this issue. What do you say to that?
I say unison aren't conflicted, and Michael McBride has called for compromise. I ask for Michael to stop getting off the fence and to fight for this country. I want Michael McBride to call on the Secretary of State to say that this country is in a health crisis at the minute, and it needs urgent Secretary of State intervention to put us on the journey to pay parity. There needs to be money invested in our health service for our patients and also the repay stabiliser. Look, if people don't have decent pay and are undervalued and you don't have pay parity, it's a massive contributing factor to the rise of waiting lists because people are not joining the health service and are leaving the health service.
Conor, can I just make one point? If somebody is out there has just received the message that their operation is cancelled, their appointment is cancelled, what do you say to them?
I say that's absolutely deeply unfortunate. It's not our intention. We know this. That is happening every day, regardless of this strike. This is the point. Operations are being cancelled all the time in regards to the issues around state of staff and levels all the time. So it's a funding issue fundamentally, and somebody has to take care of this place. Now, if it takes unison to step up to the plate to do that and to lead the way, then we will.
Okay, and Conor, Stephen wants a word with you. If you just hold on, I'm going to put these earphones on. Hold on. Okay, take the mic.
How you doing, Stephen?
Conor, good morning to you. Michael McBride, the Chief Medical Officer, was sitting in front of me just a matter of moments ago. And look, I get it, and I think the public get it. Of course, anybody that is not paid the same for doing the exact same work as anyone else, of course, people will sympathise with that situation. But we do have Michael McBride this morning saying, look, here's what he's asking your unions and use the staff base to do. He's saying, please, will you sit down with them? And he and his colleagues in management will work out a costed plan so that they can get to a resolution to this. And he's asking you to step back from the brink, because he says, and this is what I've written down, he fears for the consequences of patient safety next week. Now, that means a patient is going to possibly come to harm. That could mean someone's going to die. Would you or your union be prepared to step back from this and have one more attempt at discussions with health service management before someone potentially dies?
Stephen, our union has never walked away from the table. The problem is Michael McBride is asking for compromise and asking for people to come to the table. If he's bringing and if he has got money to come to bring to the table...
He doesn't have the money. Of course, he's a civil servant. He does not have the money.
Well, what is the point of this then? The point of this is to say we're fighting for pay justice, but as I said to your colleague, a big contributing factor of this is about safe staffing and about the issue around funding for our health service overall. So pay is a massive contributing factor to people leaving our health service and not joining our health service. Therefore, waiting lists are going through the roof.
I hear you.
Stop pretending there's a crisis over the last week. There's been a crisis here for the last number of years.
You're
and
right.
Everybody knows this.
You're right.
So who is the people who are going to step up at a senior level in this country to fight for it? I'm standing in this picket line now with cleaners. I'm standing with CSSD workers, porters, nurses. These are the people who are standing up for the health service. So the Departments of Health and all the powers that be need to make a decision. They either fight for us or they fight against us.
And what if they want to fight for you, but they don't have the power because they're not a minister to award pay parity? Julian Smith has that power. He's the Secretary of State.
We're asking for Julian Smith to intervene. Now, he's not going to intervene because of the whole issue around PERTA and all the rest that goes along with that. But he needs to ignore that and do something urgently in regards to
PERTA
releasing funds.
PERTA does not stop. Hold on a minute. PERTA does not stop the Secretary of State intervening. It does not stop him intervening. If the British government wanted to put more money into Northern Ireland to protect people's lives, they could do it right now. And it is nonsense to suggest that PERTA prevents that from happening. It is nonsense.
Excuse me, Stephen. Nigel Dodd stood on our picket line in North Belfast and told our activists that very thing. That's why it couldn't happen.
Well, did you question Nigel Dodds as to why his party, the DUP, were, it was under their watch that they broke your pay being the same as the rest of everyone else? Nigel Dodd was on that picket line with you, did you actually say to him, why was it under your party's watch that you stopped paying us the same?
Stephen, of course, every health minister who has held the health position here has contributed to this. None of them have addressed the gap. So if we can spend the rest of this programme talking about what happened, or we're going to spend the rest of this programme talking about
how... And let me just tell you about the political parties, just so that you know and your colleagues know. I have been reaching out to both Sinn Féin and the DUP to say to them, please would you come into this studio during your manifesto interviews, and I want to ask them about the health service.
Yeah.
That's part of what I want to ask them, because if they're standing for election, all of you will want to know, part of it is, what will you be doing for the health service? The DUP tell us they're still considering it. And guess what? That they might run out of time. Sinn Féin, guess what? Still considering it. Now, the UUP will be here, the SDLP will be here, the Alliance Party have already been here. Those two big parties have questions to answer. How are they going to deliver for people when the Chief Medical Officer is saying he fears for the consequences of patient safety next week? And you're directing all of your ire to the civil servants.
Stephen, the political parties are due to meet in Stormont again around the 16th of December for another series of talks. We mentioned that at a meeting with over 200 staff in a room about that, and there was collective laughter. So what that translated to me, that the people have no hope in that, and in their own political parties actually resolving this issue. But I'm telling you now, they need to listen. They need to listen, and they need to say, are we going to put our party political agendas first? Are we going to put the people first? That's a decision they have to make. But until then, the people fighting for this country, the people fighting for this health service, are our Unison members and us on the picket line. And we will never give up fighting for this NHS.
Listen, thank you for talking to me, and use this platform whenever you want. We're going to deliver a message to you all tomorrow morning. Those two big parties, Sinn Féin and the DUP, are they prepared to walk in here like the rest of the political parties and tell us, among the other issues in their manifesto, how they're going to deliver for you and your health service? And the Chief Medical Officer, the top line this morning, is he is fearing for the consequences of your patient safety next week.